you travel at The second guy said, I don't remember anything in the manual about that. Another guy said, I'm not much for church myself, mister. One guy gave him a kind of a leering look and a wink and whatever that meant. I don't want to go there. However, most people just gave him a blank stare, cleaned their windshield, but he kept asking all the Chevron stations. One day, Mallory received a phone call from the Chevron customer relations. And the gentleman said to him, I understand that you've been asking our dealers this question as you've seen on our sign, as you travel, ask us. And the man suggested that he write out his question and send it to the Chevron corporate with a self-addressed stamp envelope. So Bill Mallory wrote to the Chevron corporate office, what is the purpose of life? And he sent it to the Chevron gas company. A couple of weeks later, the envelope was returned, and the only thing in it was an application for a credit card. As you travel, ask us. I want to tell you, there's a lot of bad advice out there about what life is all about. And I want you to know today that, there is hope, because the Bible very clearly tells us what our purpose is all about. Today we're going to be looking at the first purpose we see that God has made us for. We talked about last week how God made us to love us and how that He has a special plan in our lives. And if you want to know the purpose of your life, you either have to talk to the Creator Himself who made you, or you look into the owner's manual. And I want to suggest to you today that you look into the owner's manual. You were made by God, and you were made for God. And that in itself should be enough. But we were made by God and we were made for God. And until you understand that, life is not going to make sense, and you will not be able to find your purpose in life until you understand that you were made by God and you were made for God. Notice what Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37 through 38 says. It says, you, God, created everything. Look at this verse. And it is for your pleasure that they exist and were created. That's Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. Then in Matthew 22 it says, love the Lord your God. This is the first and greatest commandment. Now, my first purpose in life, and here it is, folks. Your very first purpose in life is to worship God. There is nothing else more important than you connecting to your Creator who made you. You were created by Him and for Him. And your whole purpose is surrounded in Him. And if you don't understand who you are and what God has made you for, then you will never ever be able to understand why you're here. You'll be roaming around all of your life looking for something to give you some type of fulfillment or some type of fruitfulness. But until you come into a relationship with Him where you every day walk with Him and talk with Him and let Him direct your path and learn to worship Him everywhere that you are. You see, we have a great designed worship service here. But worship, as Theo told us this morning, is much, much more than just singing songs. Worship is a committed life. It's like this. Worship is everything that I do that expresses my love and affection to God. That's what worship is. This is your primary objective. This is your highest priority. And this is your number one purpose in life, is to worship God. Notice what Romans 12:1 says. Because of God's great mercy to us, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to His service and pleasing to Him. This is the true worship that you should offer. I want you to underline some words there in that verse on your paper. Underline, because of God's mercy toward us. In other words, God came to us. We could never have come to him. Because he has brought to us, underline the word offer. We are to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. Someone said the problem with a living sacrifice is that it wants to keep crawling off the altar. And that's about right. Man, we get excited about God. We're on fire for God. And the next thing you know, we're in the dumps. Some little something will happen that will throw us off track or knock the breath out of us. And we think God has forsaken us. Listen, God has promised to never forsake us. And you either believe that or you don't. It's either the truth or a lie. It cannot be anything in between. And if God has said it, it is absolutely true. And so we need to offer ourselves. How do we do that? Every day we should rise every day of our lives and give our lives fresh and new to God. We should rise with thanksgiving in our hearts. Offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. Notice he didn't say a dead sacrifice. A living sacrifice. It means that your life should count for God. And what does he say? Underline this. True worship. This is true worship. What is true worship? Offering yourselves to God every day. True worship. Worship is two things. Worship is, first of all, my response to God's love because of his great, what does it say, his great mercy to us. God loved us. What does the First John tell us? We love God. Why? Because he first loved us. He expressed his love to us by coming to us and doing for us what we could never have done for ourselves. Worship is my response to God's love. Are you grateful today for the love of God? For God so loved the world. Listen, put your name right there instead of the world. I want you to say it that with me. I'm going to say, for God so loved Ken. I want you to say your name. For God so loved Ken. Do you realize the power of that statement? Do you realize the personality of that statement? Do you realize how clear that is? For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son. That means that if there had not been anyone else in the world but you, he would have still done what he did. My first response. My second response is that worship is giving back to God. He's given us so much. He's given us gifts, talents, and abilities. Let me ask you, are you using those for the Lord? Listen. This trunk or treat thing is coming up. Some of you guys have got some nice trucks. God gave you those trucks. You believe that? Then you ought to use them for the Lord. God gave you those nice vehicles that you got. You ought to use them for the Lord. Bring them up here. Fill them up with candy. Make some kind of fun display there where kids has come by. And you can share the love of Christ with the truck or the car that God gave you. It's a simple way that we can do it. We ought to give back to God what he's given to us. We could never, do you understand this? You will never, ever outgive God. The Bible says, good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over is what he will do. He says he will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you'll not be able to receive it. Give back to God what is due him. So worship is our number one purpose in life. Notice what the Bible says in Mark chapter 12. Love the Lord your God, and underline this, with your heart and your soul, underline all your mind, and underline all your strength. Now, God wants you to love him thoughtfully with your mind. He wants you to love him passionately with your heart and your soul. And he wants you to love him practically with your strength. We are to commit and dedicate everything that we have to love God. I want to tell you, I'm surprised at how people say they love God, but then they won't do anything to show their love for God. Simple as like coming to church. That's pretty simple, isn't it? But when you get up on Sunday mornings with joy in your heart, you're saved, glory to God. And you're going to get the chance to get together with other saved people and worship the Lord. But yet you say, well, I got other things I'd like to do today. Other than worship God? Listen, we ought to worship God. Listen, it is special when we all get to come together and do it together. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. He says that we are to provoke one another unto love and to good deeds. I need a little provoking, and so do you. And that's what I'm doing this morning. We need to love the Lord thoughtfully, passionately, and practically. Every day of our lives should be, glory to God, another day He's given me to live and to serve Him. But not only is worship my first purpose, but there are three aspects to that. Worship is focusing my attention on God. Focusing my attention on God. Notice what Psalm 139 says. You have looked deep into my heart, Lord, and you know all about me. You know when I am resting or when I am working. You notice everything I do and everywhere I go. Do you realize, God, there was an old song. Did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurs to God? Do you realize that, that you can't run from God? Jonah thought he could. But God was everywhere Jonah went. In fact, the psalmist tells us that if I go to the heights of the heavens, you're there. If I go to the depths of the sea, you are there. Anywhere that I go, Lord, you're there. God is everywhere at all times in the totality of His being, and He knows everything you do, everything you think, and everywhere that you go. It's no surprise to Him. Why should we focus our attention on God? Because God has focused His attention on us. God has focused His attention on you. You know, attention is an incredible expression of love. I know when I was dating my sweetheart, I thought about that girl every minute of the day. I thought about her even when I was sleeping. I'd wake up thinking about her. I'd go to sleep thinking about her. Every time I ate, I was thinking about her. Every time I drove down the road, it's a wonder I could do anything. I was constantly thinking about that girl. But focusing our attention, do you focus your attention on God every day? Do you think about Him everywhere you go? I love that girl of mine. I mean, she just would be pulling into a restaurant to eat, and we'll be looking for a parking space. And we were going to Red Lobster the day. We celebrated my mother's 90th birthday. Yeah. She's a sweet, sweet lady. That's where I got all my sweetness from. But we were pulling in there, and all of a sudden, boom, right there, and I mean on front row, boom. You know what my precious girl said? Thank you, Jesus, for that parking spot. I was looking, man, where's a parking spot around this place? I wasn't thinking about thanking Jesus for a parking spot. I was just trying to find one. But learn to focus your attention on God. And we must choose to focus our attention on God. It's not just something that comes automatically. You have to choose to do so. We're very easily distracted. You know why? Two things. We're distracted. You need to write these down. We are self-centered by nature. That's why we're distracted. We want to make it all about me. We want to make it all about what makes me feel good. We want to make it what makes me more comfortable, what makes it easier for me. Oh, I just want to sleep today. Oh, I just want to do this today. I don't want to do that. That's too much hard work. I don't want to work in the children. They're just a bunch of little rug rats. I don't need all that trouble. We're so self-centered by nature. We want to think about number one all the time. And secondly, we live in a self-centered culture. Boy, I could stay there a long time, but I've got to press on to get done today. Romans chapter 8, notice what it says. Focusing on yourself is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God and ends up thinking more about self than God. That's from the Message translation. The Message paraphrase. By the way, I'd say that's the best paraphrase ever been written. Notice what it says as well in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. The culture will absorb you, and you will begin to absorb it. And then once that takes place, then you will look like, smell like, talk like, walk like, and do everything like the world does and like the culture does. And you'll accept things that are ungodly. Well, I want to tell you something. You need to turn to the Word. You need to turn to the Lord every day and put your focus and attention on Him. Choose to do so. Every day, rise and say, Lord, I choose today to follow You. How do we focus on God? A couple of ways. Write this down. I don't think I put it in your outline. By establishing a daily quiet time. If you're so busy that you don't have time to spend with God every day, let me tell you something. You're just too cotton-picking busy. And you will not be able to accomplish anything unless you have time with God. If you belong to Him and He belongs to you and He's your Creator and you want to worship Him, and you want to find out what He has to say to you so that you can live your life for that day, then bless God, set aside some time every day to spend time with God. It can be on your way to work. Turn that stupid radio off and talk to God. And you know what? That fella cutting you off, going down the road, won't bother you near as much as it did if you focus your attention on God. A daily quiet time. What do we mean by that? Just simply notice what it says in Matthew chapter 6. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Oh, my soul. Role play before God. Is there anybody in here that uninformed? You think you can role play before God? But yet there are many who do. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace. Again, from the Message paraphrase. What can you do? You can find a place to have a daily quiet time. There ought to be a special place for you. Maybe it's riding to work. Maybe it's that first 5 minutes or so once you get to work and you've got that cup of coffee and, you know, the hectic part of the day hasn't started. You've got 5 minutes to just spend some time with God. I would encourage you to get up early and do it. Let me ask you, do you think they tune these instruments before they play or after they get started? They tune them before. And so if they get out of tune, they do it while they're doing it. But they tune their instruments before. And every day we need to tune the instrument that God has given us. And that's this body that we have and this mind that we have and this soul that we have and the heart that we have. It needs to be tuned in to God's radio wave. And once we're tuned in and zeroed in, punch it in to where everything that you hit on that radio is going to go to that same station, God's station. You need to find a place to do that. You need to have a special place. Rise up. And then you need to be with God, just to be with God simply. And then third, just be yourself. Write those down. Find a place. Just be with God simply and just be yourself. Don't try to impress God. You can't do it, number one. It's a foolish endeavor. Just talk to God. It's Spend time with Him. Let Him speak to you from His Word. Learn to meditate on His Word. And meditation is simply thought digestion. Meditating on God's Word. Develop a constant conversation with God. Psalm 105 says, worship Him continually. If we focus on ourselves, write these down. Because I know I didn't put these in your outline. When we focus on ourselves, there are some results. Here's some results that will happen. We will worry. But Philippians 4 says, don't be anxious for anything. Fret not over anything. Don't worry about anything. But we'll worry if we focus on ourselves. We will have insecurity. We won't know who we are and where we are and what we're supposed to be doing. We'll have anxiety. We'll be in constant turmoil all the time about, what should I do? What should I do? What should I do? We'll have guilt. We'll have fear. Let me give you a little acrostic with the word fear. F-E-A-R. False evidence appears real. The enemy will present you with false evidence. Do you know that you worry, most of the stuff you worry about has not even happened yet? But yet you worry. What if? What if? Well, I would give you the answer that my old dad used to say, but it's not for company like this. And then here's another thing, discouragement. I think the number one tool of the enemy is discouragement. I see so many discouraged Christians. And most of the time, it can be attributed to the fact that they are not plugged in with the Lord. It's not that they don't know Him. It's not that they're not saved. They are just living a self-absorbed life. And then write these down. If you focus on God, the results are this. Gratitude. You'll be thankful for that parking space. You'll be thankful for just life itself. You'll be thankful that you've got the ability just to be able to walk around and to have the freedom that you have. You'll be thankful just to be able to go to the store. You'll be thankful for everything. You'll have gratitude. The second thing you have will be hope if you focus on God. The third thing you'll have will be confidence. You will not have to worry about what your life is going, how it's going to end up, because God has that plan for you. And then you will be able to not only receive love, but be able to express love as well. The second thing worship is expressing my affection to God. We love Him because He first loved us, 1 John 4. Notice what Hosea 6 and verse 6 from the Living Bible paraphrase. It says, I don't want your sacrifices, I want your love. I don't want your offerings, I want you to know me. Underline know and love. The most important thing you can do in life is to know this, is to know that God loves you just like you are. And the most important thing you can do in life is to love Him back. The most important thing you can know in life is that God loves you. We talked about that last week. A lot. But you need to understand that. Exodus chapter 34 says, He is a God who is passionate about His relationship with you. You realize that? From the New Living Translation says, God is passionate about His relationship to you. Let me ask you this. Are you passionate about your relationship with Him? You see, if two people are in love, there should be passion on both sides. When it's not, you've got an unhealthy relationship. So if God is passionately in love with you, He's not going to change. It's like that fellow that was riding down the road with his wife in his pickup truck. And they pulled up behind this other pickup truck, and they looked. The lady spoke up and says, "Just look at that young couple up there. They're up there. They're all, it looked just like one person, but she was so snuggled up to him, you know, so close. It's like he was one person driving that truck." And the wife said to the husband, "You know, we used to be like that. What happened?" He says, "I ain't moved." Have you moved? Have you scooted over? Are you passionate about your relationship with Jesus Christ? Learning to express your affection to God. God doesn't want duty or ritual or religion or rules. Those are all significant in their place. What God wants is a relationship with you. A passionate, loving relationship with you. And that is worshiping God, expressing your affection to God every day. You start by just saying thanks to Him for all He's done. You give your life to Him. And as Theo told us this morning, you cannot give. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Romans 6 says, "Give yourselves completely to God since you have been given a new life." For no other reason in the world, you ought to be willing to express your affection to God, that passionate love for God every day, because He has given you life. Not only life, but abundant life. So what stops us from giving our lives to God? Fear. Your problem is not you don't love God enough. Your problem is you don't realize how much God loves you. And then third, worship is using my abilities for God. Notice what Colossians says. "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart." And underline this next. "As though you were working for the Lord and not for people." That job you have that you're dissatisfied with, begin to look at that job as you're working for the Lord and not for that ornery boss you got or those crazy, arrogant workers that you work with. Express the fact. Use your abilities for God. Every day, focus on how you can use your abilities for God. It's not what you are doing or how much you are doing, but who you are working for that counts. God doesn't want worship just to be a church thing. He wants it to be your whole life. You worship God at work. You worship God at play. You worship God at church. You worship God everywhere that you go. Romans 12 says, "Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering." Real purpose-driven living doesn't happen within four walls. It happens every day in ordinary, routine, mundane things of real life where you go every day. That is a purpose-driven life, that every day you focus your attention on God, you express your affection to God, and you use your abilities for God. And everything that you do is an act of worship before God. The greatest temptation of your life and the worst sin I think that any of us could possibly commit is the temptation to worship something or someone other than God Himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, "So we make it our goal to please Him." Is that your goal today? Every day to please God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and all of your strength. Every day should be a worship day, a worship service. When you go to work, that ought to be a worship service for you. When you go shopping, it ought to be a worship service. It is for some ladies anyway. It ought to be a worship service for you. Oh, thank God, look at this sale I found. Wow! When you are out playing football, baseball, basketball, whatever it might be, you're out there in the grind every day practicing and all of that. Make it a worship service to God and it'll go by quicker. I wish I'd have known that as a teenager. Everything that we do, we are to focus our attention on God. We're to express our affection to God, and we are to use our abilities for God. That is what it means to worship God. Every day, all of our lives focused on Him, tuned in to God's station. Let's pray. Lord, thank You today.